Is this thing on?
I think I'm doing it.
Boss mode. Initiate.
Hey everybody, it's Tori again, just sipping on some nice coffee from a small business. And as usual, I'm here with the fantastic
Dana Galindo, also sipping on some coffee. Gotta stay caffeinated.
Nice, nice. And that is the most appropriate things we've ever said, because we're about to speak with the amazing Melissa Villanueva.
Entrepreneur, owner, CEO of Brewpoint Coffee Shop. She has 3 locations, event space, doing all the good things for the community.
Yeah, she's in the Chicagoland area, specifically Elmhurst. If you're in the Chicagoland area, you would know that. And she's been a pivotal point and a pivotal person in the community during this time. And we are super stoked to speak with her today.
Okay, so I just wanted to say, first of all, I love coffee shops. And so, yeah, so I found Brewpoint while I was studying at Elmhurst, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is just a cool place. And I would see you there a lot, like always hustling and working and doing your thing, like grinding as a business owner. And it was super cool to see that and see you in you know, your environment. I'm just curious about making that bold choice.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So, a little bit about me. I was a philosophy major in college and ended up in business because I did door-to-door sales to pay off some of my college loans and ended up being like weirdly good at it. So when I graduated, I got business offers. I ended up being a director of recruitment and team development for a big financial firm, and did that for like 3 years post-college, and, you know, kind of felt like I checked off all the boxes in terms of, you know, what it feels like to be successful. But, you know, there's still this big part of me that just wasn't fulfilled and wasn't happy. And I thought, you know, maybe I was just being an entitled millennial. And so I tried to push through it. But when I ended up meeting my now husband, one of the first serious conversations I had with Angelo was telling him about how I felt about work. And he's like, you know, I think you should just pull the trigger. And I took that as my sign to quit my job and go on a like an exploration trip. And so I went to the Philippines for 2 months. And it was there that I really got caught vision to create authentic community spaces through coffee. I just thought, I was thinking back on like some of my favorite jobs, and I really liked working at Starbucks in high school. And I was just thinking about like, why did I enjoy that so much? And I think a lot of it was just the authentic interactions you can have in a coffee shop. People are coming in, you know, pretty excited for the drink. They know what they want. You don't have to like upsell them. You can just kind of speak genuinely. And you see people every day because they come and get their drink every day. It has a lower threshold financially speaking, because, you know, you can get something as low as like $2, $3 a day versus maybe something like a $10 or $15 meal. And so, so I was just kind of thinking about, like, I think I want to open a coffee shop someday. And, you know, I was a fairly reasonable person. And so I was like, yeah, I'll put a 3-year plan together. And so I started putting my plan together, and within the first week after getting back from the Philippines, I'm looking on Craigslist for an espresso machine to start tinkering around with, and I find this coffee shop in Elmhurst instead. And within about a month and a half, Angelo and I purchased the coffee shop with no experience, no idea what we're doing, barely any money. And that was 5.5 years ago now. So we were able to grow that, coffee shop on Craigslist to, now we have 3 coffee shops, a wholesale roastery, an event space, and a book called Starting and Running a Coffee Shop. So yeah, so that's our story.
Holy cow, Melissa, that is awesome. And I'm going to just do a quick shout out to Craigslist, because I'm going to be honest, I was one of those people who was like, you're never going to, like, nothing good comes from Craigslist. And now I live in LA and I live in a house from Craigslist too. Isn't that weird? Like, I feel like Craigslist has this weird stigma, but you're like, and then something great.
No, absolutely. It's just, yeah, it's a, you know, it's a place where you just put yourself out there, I think. And, you know, sometimes there are, is like great gems. So for the right person.
Gotta find those diamonds. Gotta find those diamonds. But so Melissa, I thought what's really interesting is how you describe how coffee shops and coffee brings community together and can cultivate it almost like you're roasting coffee or something like that. Why do you feel, is that like a cultural thing that you think, or because you came from the Philippines and that type of cultural scenario and brought it to Elmhurst, or do you just think in general, just coffee does that?
Sure. So to clarify, for specifically about the Philippines, so I'm Filipino American, but had never gone to the Philippines before. So for me, that trip was more just like an exploration of my roots and like who I am and like what do I deem important. What made it that trip so interesting was that, first of all, it was a good amount of time, and you know, kind of being like pretty like success oriented and driven, and like I, as much as anyone else, have these pressures that are placed on me of like, and that I take on, that like tell me who I should be and, you know, all those different things. And I think taking a trip where all those pressures were essentially, they dissipated, because I didn't have work, I didn't have, you know, family or friends, I didn't really know anyone, and I just had time and space to really figure out who I am and what's important to me. And interestingly enough, I remember, I starkly remember when I had like this vision for like a coffee shop, because it was like one of the hottest days I've ever experienced. I remember like sitting in a room with like a fan like in my face, because I just like couldn't take it. And all I can think about was how like my physical needs, like how hot I was. And it was like in that moment that I just started dreaming about what a space like a coffee shop could feel like to a person, and what it felt like for me in the past. And I think what to go back to your question, the thing that makes coffee special is that, you know, people talk about meeting at coffee shops even if they don't drink coffee. You know, just the kind of the statement of, do you want to grab coffee, usually is met with sure, like yes or no. It's not usually met with like, oh, I don't drink coffee, I'm going to get a tea instead, or I'm going to get a cookie instead, like whatever it is. People associate it with gathering and connection. And so to me, like a coffee shop is special because of what the product itself symbolizes. But a lot of food can do that. So like not just coffee, but, you know, other drinks can do that. Food can do that. But I think the additional piece is the economic threshold, right? So having that lower threshold of like $2 to $3 a day is more easily accessible to more people. Because in my mind, the other different types of modern day watering holes, you know, they're bars, they're other restaurants, but bars has an age threshold and food has a monetary threshold. So, you know, you don't usually go to the same restaurant every single day. You might go there once a week, whereas you might go to the same coffee shop every single day, which thereby kind of forms this kind of community and culture a little bit more readily. So, yeah, that's kind of my thought on how coffee shops like truly create community and culture.
Yeah, that's really interesting. It's bringing all the people together, and they're kind of creating the community themselves, but you're also helping facilitate that. So what do you think, like when you first started and you were building your business, what were elements that you brought in to personalize your coffee shop?
When we bought the coffee shop on Craigslist, we were actually the third coffee, we'd be the third coffee shop in 3 years. So there's a coffee shop that started there that had been there for a couple of years, but ended up selling. And then there was someone who had it for 10 months and they were selling it to us. So we were getting it for like a great deal. And in my mind, like the reason why it wasn't successful previously wasn't because the location wasn't amazing, but because it just, the way that it was owned was a little, like it was just, you know, not exactly how I would think a small business should be owned. And so for me and Angelo, our mindset was, we're going to try our best to do a little bit better every day. We're going to learn as we go, and we're going to be as engaged as possible. So, especially in the beginning, yeah, you would see me in the shop like all the time trying to figure out like, and get an idea of like, what are people looking for? How do we have the interactions we're looking for? Because at the end of the day, like me and Angelo both quit like some more like professional, jobs. And so like we were mirroring the community that we wanted, the kind of interactions we wanted. I didn't want to feel like I was having fake interactions with people. I didn't want to feel like I was, going through any of those motions. Like I wanted to create something I was comfortable in, and hopefully that would be something that other people would look for too. And so, I think that at first it was, Angel and I were doing that for the customers, and then we started building that within our team of employees. And now the team is the one who continually emulates that as we pour into them.
That's the best part about small business, right? Like that's why people probably choose your coffee shop over some of the other options, is it does give that personal touch. And if you guys also, know everybody's names and all your employees are super friendly, I would choose your coffee shop over a lot of others in the line in Starbucks, which is going on to this day. Have you passed a Starbucks? Oh my goodness. Those drive-thrus everywhere you go, you're like, who waits in line that long? And they're like, oh, that's how powerful coffee is. And how
it is so interesting. Like, I think when the pandemic happened, I remember looking up like just like a specialty coffee industry in general, and seeing that it like it survived really well in the 2008 crash. And it's just kind of like, like I wonder why this product can survive a good amount. I mean, obviously not anything, but it can survive a good amount of volatility in the market. And I think part of it is like, it is, it's a luxury item, but it's a cheaper luxury item. And it's something that can give you kind of that additional boost of happiness on a day-to-day basis. And so, I do think Starbucks has paved the way for like basically all specialty coffee shops. And so, it is pretty nuts right now.
And going back to like the current times, I know you guys are doing a lot of stuff on Instagram and helping out communities. How has that been? Because I'm sure it's terrifying as a small business owner to be going through this, but like you're stepping up and you're innovating. So what's that been like?
So I was thinking about it. It's been, it's been a little over 2 months since we started really getting, the pandemic has been hitting us. And it's been interesting because I'm trying to look at it in stages of like when we first found out to, all the way up till now. And I remember when I started getting wind that this was going to be serious. It was probably like 2 weeks before the stay-at-home order was even passed. And so I remember talking to my team about like, hey, I don't think we can use we can't use tumblers right now. And I remember them be kind of confused about that. And I remember I remember talking to a couple of them being like, hey, you should really save your money. And I kind of felt like Chicken Little of just like the sky is falling and people looking at me kind of weird. But it was interesting. And the reason why I caught wind beforehand, other than like Angel and I do watch the news a good amount, but, was that we were about to launch, some big stuff specifically around, helping people nationwide open coffee shops, specifically more marginalized communities, and what does that look like? And so we had a couple of partnerships that were about to launch off, and one of our like PR opportunities was with Coca-Cola, and so they were going to fly me out to Atlanta, and it all was happening around COVID, and everything got canceled, and getting like seeing that was like, in my mind it was kind of like, yeah, that sucks, but like. This is showing me that something bigger is about to happen. So, yeah, that's a little bit about in the beginning of like kind of having an idea that like this was gonna be big. Our library cafe closed because the library closed. We decided to close our workshop space, and then we only had our founder's location open. And I remember sitting around. On the phone with my leadership team and trying to decide what we were going to do and hearing out from them what they thought made sense. And so we decided to have a walk-up window and be open for founders specifically, which is our location right next to the train station, our original Craigslist location. And it ended up doing really well. Part of it was is that actually all the Starbucks around us closed for over a month. It just kind of like, I don't even, ended up being like a weird blessing for the coffee shop small businesses around us, because we were able to, our little like pickup window ended up being the business level of two locations combined.
Knowing that your Craigslist baby there is just holding it up for the whole business, that is insane to me. Like when you said that gave me goosebumps, that it's getting more than just two locations mm-hmm. combined. That's awesome.
And also just, yeah. I think it's a piece of normalcy for the community too. And community, like, gosh, it's needed in good times, but you can see now more than ever, it's needed in these tough times too.
Yeah, no, that's, it has been such a wild 2 months. Like we are so, like, as a business owner, like I just feel like so lucky and so grateful, because I mean, it's weird kind of, because like, I mean, I know that a lot of like business owners are struggling, and I know that like it just, I felt like all these right things hit for us, and I don't exactly know why. But it's like, I feel like I have to do the most that I can with it. Right. So, I mean, cause we're looking at multiple fronts. One is on a financial basis, because we're able to, because we're able to have like very like consistent revenue. And then we also got these like grant loans on top of that. Like, not only do I not have to be worried about my business, but I can also make sure I have like a good amount of hours for my staff, and even give some of them additional, like bonuses for putting themselves out there working during a pandemic, essentially. So we've been able to give our staff like just additional things. One thing I'll note that I really appreciated is a partnership we have with one of our local like therapy businesses. We were able to work with Green Door Therapy to offer our staff essentially an 8-pack counseling session. So, I mean, even though we're a small business and usually I wouldn't be able to afford a lot of different benefits, this time has allowed for us to have like really creative partnerships. And, you know, the additional funds we're getting either from the government or the emergency funds we're putting together has been able to allow us to give our staff more. So, so there's that financial portion, there's that emotional, mental, like health portion where, I feel like culturally speaking, like our staff, like I'm sure it's not perfect because we're still in a pandemic, but like, I'm really grateful for my team. I feel like they're like as positive as they can be during this time. Sorry about that. We have a lot to be grateful for. When it comes to let me talk a little bit about the PPP and the EIDL, just in case. I mean, I don't know if there's other small business owners out there. I think this is kind of interesting, right? So the PPP is the Paycheck Protection Program, and the EIDL is the emergency. It's like the disaster loan. And so these are both government funds that can either be loans or grants, depending on how you use them. And I know a lot of small businesses that didn't try for it or are trying for it and aren't able to get it. And it's really interesting to me because, like, just seeing how these funds work, like, for some businesses, this will be amazing. Like, it's a thing that is going to keep them sane for the next couple months. And for others, it's just like, why would I even take that? Like, my staff is happier on unemployment and we're just going to be closed. The loans worked really well for us because of two things, I think. One is that we stayed open the whole time. And we stayed open in a way that is like, our cafe is purely contactless. And, And so that, you know, the safety wise, like, our staff is happy to continue working. And so with the PPP, we were able to essentially have the same exact payroll as we did pre-COVID. So we use it not only on making sure everyone had the same hours behind the bar, which was is a little hard to do when you used to have three locations. Now you only have one, or like one and a half. But we also started using it for a couple other things. We used it, right now we're using it to renovate our founder's location. And so we have like a secret mural that we're working on. Essentially like making it more in the image of what's relevant to us right now, because when we did it, it was 5.5 years ago. Using that for that has been really cool. We also started our own in-house baking program. I wouldn't have done that because that would cost a good amount of money normally, but because the PPP can go towards payroll, and if you put it all towards payroll, it'll get forgiven and become a grant. So we were able to try it out on baking. So we're creating these revenue streams that can persist beyond the PPP. And hopefully like that way we'll just be ahead of where we would have been if we never got it.
I also think too, what's really cool is a lot of times during crisis or times of struggle, people are just thinking, how do we survive? How do we survive? But you're taking it and you're like, how can we innovate and how can we be better down the road? And that's something I think a lot of people can take from.
Yeah. Well, and I think one thing that made it kind of interesting is that, I mean, survival, I feel like it's not even just about survival or like thriving. I mean, I think part of it is like, how long do you think this is going to be? And the way that you're making decisions, is it you thinking this is going to be 1 month, 3 months, 1 year? Like, because that majorly changes how you feel about what surviving looks like or thriving looks like, right? And so in my mind, it's kind of been like, yeah, I'm just planning on this being for like at least a year. And even if post a year, like it's still like the world is going to be different, right? And so like if we're investing ways so that like we're thinking through, okay, like what could everything look like, you know, in the next 3 to 6 months, and I'm investing in things now for that. I feel like that has been part of what has given us the ability to thrive. There's a little bit of like, sure, there's like a little pat in the back of like, I'm doing a good job as a leader. But a lot of it is just like things that I had no control over, right? Like I didn't have control whether or not I was a business that like was able to get these grants, because that in and of itself is huge.
That's a good mindset too. I think that's something that everybody in general has been struggling with, is like, okay, well, just last 2 more weeks. And then when we get the update, like LA where I live is in it till July. And I remember having just a little bit of a mental breakdown when I heard that, because I was like, oh, I was hoping to get out and go to the beach and do these fun things. And you're like, well, if you just change your mindset to be like, hey, let's just live in this, maybe you can thrive in it, like you guys are doing in Elmhurst right now. But I guess I would like to just bring this back around to one of those like big talking points you love to say. I love that you talk about how coffee shops make the world a better place. And you kind of already touched a little bit about this, but why do you feel like coffee shops make the world a better place?
I already kind of talked about like how a coffee shop in general creates a culture and creates a community. I think that's specific to coffee shops. I think there's other things that are maybe similar to that that also do it, but I don't think all businesses can do the same thing. The other part of it is in being a small business owner, you're literally creating like your own little world. And I never knew that like this is what I was meant for until I did it. Like I remember when I was going through my like post-college little crisis of just like, what do I want to do with my life? I was thinking more about like what's important to me, what my values are, but I didn't really think about how important the ability to control things and like make decisions is to me. I think that like a lot of women are kind of cultured into believing that like, you know, we are, when we have like strong desires or when we're strong will, that's like not necessarily a good thing. And I remember when I was like a child, I was my parents' wild child, and I like to function in a way that's like, I want to do what I want, when I want, how I want. And at a young age was cultured into trying to stuff that down and stuff that down and stuff that down until I did this and realizing that, you know, like, I'm glad I matured since the way that I function as a child, but how I want, what I want, when I want is actually, if I care about people, if I care about what I'm building, like, that can be a really great thing. All that being said, being a business owner, being able to create a culture, being able to create a structure that aligns with their values, has been, to me, something that can, I feel like that can change the world. Because in my mind, like, there's so many things wrong with how higher leadership functions in our nation. I mean, there's so many big businesses that control and monopolize just like how things work. And at the end of the day, it's because what matters most in America is the bottom line. But if you have people creating small little worlds, small little cultures that not just prioritize the bottom line and profitability, but they're prioritizing their community, they're prioritizing their employees, their vendors, like, and all those different things, then you just have these little worlds with different value systems that, like, kind of help, like, essentially mitigate that corruption. And so, yeah, so it's kind of like a twofold answer, right? Like, coffee shops specifically create a culture in which you come in and you have an experience, but a small business owner can create a, like, they create a world and a structure that impacts their community.
I love that. I love that it goes that deep into, like, you start at like the base level of, you know, coffee, and being like, being a female myself, they're like, oh, I got to go get my latte or I got to get this. But it's such a deeper topic to dive into. And it stems from all of that. I love that. I love that you're trying to just make that little ripple effect that could possibly go throughout the community and maybe throughout our country and then maybe throughout the world. And I think that's beautiful. And what else is beautiful is your book. You wrote a whole book on this. And now that I hear you speaking about it, I'm like, now I can tell why starting a coffee shop or starting and running a coffee shop became a huge book.
So the book itself, it does read a little bit more like a textbook, right? So it's very pragmatic in the way that it executes, like, how to start and run a coffee shop. And so, yeah, like, the things you're hearing behind it is definitely more of like my individual experience and also the passion around like what this can do for a community. So the book ended up kind of just like falling in my lap. I had a connection that said that they were looking for like a coffee shop consultant. And so I put my hat in the ring and ended up, you know, working really well with the writer. So I essentially was interviewed for every single chapter and was able to help like with the content of just like how you run and start a coffee shop. So I definitely think that, like, I mean, there's a part of it, the very pragmatic side. You just need, like, there's to some level an equation and a rule book on how to do this. But I also think that, like, especially as a small business owner, like, that set of rules is maybe like, you know, 40% of it, 50% of it. The other side of it is like, are you looking to get better every day? Are you learning as you go? Are you engaged? Because without those things, like, I don't know your community. I don't know what's like, what specific situations and details there are in, like what you're trying to make and create. But like, if you are a part of it and you're constantly thinking through and looking at like, how can I better this? And when something goes wrong, because something will go wrong, like, are you there to mitigate it as quickly as possible so it doesn't take everything over? Because something like this, like, I remember talking to Angelo. So my husband is much more risk averse than I am. It's kind of crazy that he lent me like $20,000 to buy a coffee shop, but he like is very he would constantly trying to tell me like, oh man, like, you know, it, what if something happens and like, you know, it ruins everything. Like it takes away our, like, you know, what we've created. And my response to him was always, you know, like, if we take a couple steps every day, then like when something big happens, you know, maybe it'll knock us back 20 steps, but we've made 1,000 steps in the meanwhile. And if we're still engaged with it, we can recoup those steps within a certain amount of time. And so I do feel like the pandemic was easily something that like knocked us back like 1,000 steps. But like, fortunately for us, we were probably at the strongest point we've ever been as a company, both culturally speaking and financially speaking. And so, like it wasn't actually too difficult to pivot. And like, I mean, and then a couple things like, I mean, specifically the Starbucks is closing, I think really made it so, it didn't really, like, we didn't really go too far back steps wise. We just kind of took a new path more than anything.
There's opportunity in this that people sometimes don't actually see, because you either see opportunity nowhere or opportunity everywhere. And your mindset just turned it into, hey, I have an opportunity, I'm going to take it. And now you're being even more successful than it sounds like than you were expecting. So
no, absolutely.
I'm super excited for you guys.
Okay. These are my fast four. So,
okay.
Are you an cool early bird or a night owl?
I've become a night owl. It's actually pretty surprising. I feel like everyone thinks I like wake up at like the crack of dawn, and I'm like, don't call me before 9 a.m. because Angela and I like to like have like binge our TV shows or play video games at the end of the night.
That's hilarious. Awesome. It's funny. Coffee. She's like, I haven't had my coffee before 9, so don't you dare.
Okay. What has been one of your favorite books that you've read that has helped you with your business?
Ooh, that's so interesting. I don't even know how to answer that. So here's the thing. I used to be a philosophy major. I used to read all the time. And then when I became a business owner, I stopped reading. And I don't really know why. But it's like, it's very rare I pick up a book. Most of the time I'm listening to podcasts. The one that I'm in love with right now, which I would say, that's not exactly your question, but in terms of like my sanity in it, like saying keeping my sanity as a business owner, has been the Brené Brown podcast. And it's a really nice mix of just like mental, emotional health as just like a human being, but it talks a lot about leadership. And so that has been like, I mean, I could, whether or not I'm in a pandemic, like whatever, it's like been awesome.
What is your personal definition of success?
I would say being like true to yourself. I feel like that sounds so cliche, but it's I've been thinking about what it means to be a leader in general, and whether it's through running my business or anything else I might endeavor to do. And I think to me, like when you're a leader, you do have a lot of pressures to go every which way, and you have a lot of decisions to make. I feel most successful when I can be bold enough to like speak my truth of what I think is the right thing to do and act on it. I feel like for me, that's success, because like whether or not my business is successful, like I could be a really crappy human being and have like a successful business, and that would mean nothing to me. But if I can have success as a business owner and still be able to be true to myself, like to me, that's like the most important thing.
One piece of advice for aspiring small business owners, somebody who hasn't made that jump off decision yet?
There's so much. I think that like, you're never going to be ready. It's more of like, are you willing to take that jump and like try to be as thoughtful and engaged as possible? I feel like I find so many people who want to be business owners or want to do something that like they have an idea and a vision and a dream for it, but you know, they're, you know, putting that business plan together for like 5 years. And I do think the first step is by far the hardest step. And once you get that down, you end up, even if your first like try at something is unsuccessful, you learn way more that way than, you know, purely doing research from afar.
Okay. And I'm going to ask you just one more because I want to know, what about a piece of advice to current business owners right now?
That's a good one as well. To take a day and like really come to terms like with where things are at so you can make a plan for how to move forward, right? So like in my mind, taking a day to like accept what the current situation is, grieve the things you've lost, make a plan for like what does it mean for you to move forward in what you're doing. I think that a leader's emotional and mental health, it will highly impact their ability to be creative. And creativity is what is needed now to be able to move forward.
I love it. As a creative myself, I'm like, I feel you, and I don't even own a business. I'm my own business at times, and I have had to take days fully off and just be like, hey, turn that mind off for like a day. Just try it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Melissa, this was so nice. Thank you so much for like having a conversation with us. Can you tell people where to find you, where to find your book?
So you can find us at brewpointcoffee.com. And we're on Facebook and on Instagram. We've been actually updating on both our website and on social media how we're handling the COVID crisis. So it's kind of cool for us because I can literally look 2 months back and kind of see every decision we've made and how like where we were and how that's changed. And so, and in terms of our book, it's also on our website. Any ways that you're looking to support us, whether that's buying coffee from us. One thing that I didn't mention that we're really excited about is that about a month ago, we started a campaign called Fuel Our Frontlines. And so we made a coffee called The Guardian Blend. And every purchase of The Guardian Blend helps us donate that another bag to medical frontline workers. So we have been able to donate almost 500 bags of coffee since then to different frontline workers. So if you're looking to buy some coffee and you want to do some good with it, buy The Guardian Blend on our website.
That's amazing. Well, I guess that's what we got to do after we're done talking, because I'm drinking coffee right now. I love it.
I think that's it. I just wanted to thank you for coming on. This has been an awesome conversation. I know both Tori and I learned a lot, and I'm sure our listeners will definitely learn a lot as well. So thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me on.
Holy cow. That was awesome.
What a great conversation.
Yeah. She was even more impressive than I expected after researching her, but speaking to her in person was amazing. I mean, all the things she's doing for other people, that little end blurb about, you know, getting the Guardian brew, that is amazing. I'm literally going to go buy that right now just because you buy one, you give one.
Yeah.
You're not paying extra for it, but right. She's just making sure that you're giving back to the community, even if you don't want to, which I do want to.
And yeah, I think it's so cool, the different things that came out in that discussion. Each thing was consistent with community, whether it was directly spoken to community or not. I mean, let's think about, you know, thinking about our employees, figuring out new ways that they can learn new skills that will in return impact her business in a positive way, as well as positively impact the community, bringing baked goods and new surprises to make people feel good.
Yeah, that's so important right now. And I know when we're speaking of a small business owner, Melissa, who owns Brewpoint in Elmhurst, it was so interesting hearing everything that she was doing to not adjust, but like we were already talking about, innovate her business to now culturally accept what's going on, whether or not it's going to be this way for a certain amount of time. That's something that I got. And I think that her mindset of having her business prepped to do that instead of just being waiting, playing the waiting game, which is the worst mindset. That gives you anxiety. So how did you feel about that?
Yeah, I thought that was extremely interesting because not only can it be applied to small business owners, that can be applied to an individual person. It's like, okay, no, we do not need to be sitting around in, you know, limbo. Like you can still, right, you can still change the way you feel and do something positive. And, you know, and I liked how she broke it up too. So you have to think of the timeline. Like, let's think about the next year. And if this is the new normal for the next year, how does our decision-making change versus living in the moment, making changes that way? I think that can be applied to everybody.
Right. And just thinking that, hey, this is the new normal. I know nobody wants to feel that way. And I don't want to feel that way. I want it to end. But speaking with Melissa here today kind of made me feel like, hey, maybe my mindset needs to be tweaked a bit so that I can be successful. And I think that's what she was getting at about small businesses across our nation and probably around the world is that, hey, let's think proactively, not reactively, and let's innovate in order to continue to thrive in this society, because small businesses are essential. Essential. I mean, especially in Los Angeles, you know how many small businesses? There's like 7 down, like in every shopping mall, I have a small business. And this is literally one of the things that is the worst part about this pandemic is seeing all them closed. But there are those little gems that are opening up that are innovating. And I think the more people that listen to kind of what Melissa was preaching and saying, I think the more we can open some of these doors up. Even the clothing stores are having curbside pickups. So let's see what we can do. So guys, exciting, exciting news. Well, first off, I would like to say happy birthday to my new niece. She was born literally yesterday, which is May 15th. I am so stoked to be a new niece. Auntie. I'm not a niece. I'm an auntie. And I just wanted to say happy birthday, Wilhelmina. Love you already. Excited to meet you when we're allowed to travel again and it's safe for you. You are born in history. That's crazy. Love it. But if you guys want to follow us, obviously, we are on Instagram at BossModeInitiated_. We are on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts, Apple Music. We are now on iHeartRadio, and we're on to VindaMedia, which is so stoked. Like, I'm so stoked. Like, this is crazy. Dana, where can they find all of your amazingness?
Yeah, you can find me at DanaJoy_XO on Instagram. You can find me at thefinancebabe.com. I have a blog there. And yeah, hit me up on BossModeInitiated_ on Instagram.
Cool. Definitely check out if you guys are in the Chicagoland area. Brewpoint is open. Please go by, stop by, say hi, say you heard about her on Boss Mode because she is a Boss Mode and she initiated it 5 years ago. But hey, she's still going. So she's turning the key. We love it. Thank you guys for listening. And I guess, Dana?
Boss Mode initiated.